Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parent in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or, hopefully, how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice, and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because, let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
And you're listening to Now That's What I Call Parent in Hell, Volume 1.
And kicking things off, our first ever guest, Catherine Ryan, discusses her daughter's TikTok obsession.
My screen time at the moment is an absolute disgrace.
Yeah.
My screen time last week was 8 hours, and then it dropped to 5 hours this week, and I genuinely felt like I had achieved, like I'd climbed Everest to just do 5 hours a day on my telephone. Telephone? Who am I, a Victorian?
What's your screen time at the moment, Catherine?
It's bad, but I read. I don't think that I'm doing, you know, nefarious activities on the phone all the time. It's not all social media. I read all my news articles on there. I subscribe to all the newspapers. I am reading. I use it like a Kindle.
I try to read, but then I just end up immediately going back onto TikTok.
I can't with TikTok.
I'm obsessed with it. I love it. And I don't know why. I don't. On paper, I shouldn't.
No, I don't know. I think it's about your level, Rob.
That's about my vibe, isn't it?
Bit of TikTok, bit of Lego, bad.
I live like a teenage girl.
Well, this is the other thing with TikTok that's so annoying, and you should like it. I mean, I love the idea that 10-year-olds are moving around and dancing, but it's constant. So they'll be on TikTok learning dances, but even once the phone is put away, my daughter will walk into the kitchen for snacks and she's TikToking. All she wants to do is watch the older girls on TikTok and learn the dances that they're doing and then emulate those dances in a crop top. And I've studied TikTok because... I'm trying to bond with this child. You know, I used to have a 2-year-old girl and she liked me very much. And now I have to reach out and basically watch these jailbait 15-year-olds doing sexy dances, doing the splits. I have to learn those dances. I made a list of how to be successful at TikTok based on what I've learned. And I tried to feed this back to Violet, but it's a terrible list. All you want to do is you need good lighting, really nice straight white smile, and you need to get your ass out and be flexible, and that's it.
Well, I'm one ass away from being successful on TikTok by the sounds of that. What you don't realise is they are like proper celebrities in that world. So if they went to an event where there was loads of kids that age, there would be people all over them going, oh my God, can I have a picture and all that at 15? It's like they're megastars, like in a cult.
And I am ashamed to say that pre-lockdown, I would travel around the UK with my daughter and go to a travel lodge in Milton Keynes to hang out with TikTokers for like a 5-hour meet and greet.
Oh wow.
How much would that cost?
It costs, I think, £20 each, but then there's loads of merch there that you're railroaded into buying. There's no performance element. They don't do anything. And they're lovely girls, but they just have a step and repeat, you know, that branding board in the back. And they stand there and the children queue to hug them and record a quick TikTok where they stick their tongue out. And then they resume and they queue again to do the same. And it's really a weird, you wait. I don't know what it's going to be when your daughters are 10.
I know.
Oh no.
Well, it's only five years away for me. It's like we're in Black Mirror, isn't it? At the moment.
I can't believe how out of the loop I am. When you describe that, am I old?
No, you are peacefully unaware right now, and just enjoy this time, because we all have different struggles at different stages of parenthood. And this is the one I'm in. Right, I'm very ashamed to say that I paid a teenager 800 pounds to visit my house last June.
Did you?
Because she's on TikTok. Yeah.
So did I, but I got it out of the papers. So you paid a TikTok, like basically a corporate appearance fee, to come to your daughter's house.
Exactly that. It was the only thing Violet wanted for her birthday. She said, "Will you get this TikToker to come to the house?"
Wow.
And I said, "All right." So I reached out to this teen. It felt very dirty, just a teenage girl. I was like, how much is it going to cost me to get you come dance in my kitchen?
I think it's a weird thing where me and Josh are at the stage now where our kids are really young, and we sort of feel quite young still, like, we sort of know about cool stuff, but we don't. We're completely oblivious. It's only when your kids get a bit older, like your daughter's 10 now, that they bring you into this new world. You go, oh, that's what's going on. We're in this weird fallow period where we don't know what is cool or what is popular, and then you get brought into it by your kids.
Do you think my parents were thinking about, like, we're talking about TikTok, and they were talking about that, like, about, like, gladiators or, like...
All Josh wants is to meet Jazz in a mall.
I spent 300 quid on getting Shadow to come round for the afternoon to hit him with a massive cotton bud.
That was the brilliant Catherine Ryan. If you want to listen to the whole interview, you can find it right at the start. Series 1, Episode 1. That and the rest of the clip details can be found in the episode listing. Up next is comedian John Richardson and the perils of trying to make food that both he and his daughter enjoy.
Good afternoon, John Richardson. How are you?
Yes, I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah.
We're all right, are we?
Yeah, we're fine. I think we're good. Do you want to just take me through? So you've got a daughter.
We have a daughter who's 3 years old.
3 years
about
old.
About 3 and a half. Proper three-nager. Which is the term that I've been taught. Proper bolshy, won't do what she's told, but in a sort of witty, you know, both of us are comics. So yeah, she's learned how to use humour as a way of deflecting from being an absolute pain in the ass. Can't criticise her for, because that's the one thing I've taught her. I mean, to let you into what's happening, it's what is it, 1:30? I'm having a beer because lunch was just an absolute nightmare. We had a nice morning. We went for our walk, came back, cooked a lovely curry, no spice in it, so that Elsie could have some. Put it down in front of her, just went absolutely apeshit, wouldn't touch it. And I've had a few meals where I've said, look, you know, we need you to eat and we need to understand what meal times are. And today I said, I like this curry, so I'm going to leave you with your mother and you can do what you need to do, and I'm going to eat it in a different room because I'm sick of you ruining my meals.
You had your bland curry on your own.
I chopped some chilies in mine. I put some coriander in it. All the stuff she doesn't like that I omitted to handcraft a meal for a child that is now halfway through some fish dippers and waffles.
Do you think maybe you'd made her curry too bland?
She said there was pepper in it. And there isn't, because I cooked the fucking thing. But you can't say that to a three-year-old, can you? I know exactly what's in it because I put it in there. Yeah. What I'm learning is when the rage kicks in instantly, that's my fault, not hers. So when she says that and I say, oh, look, I promise you there isn't, come over here and I'll show you the ingredients. And look, you helped me, didn't you? Because you did the mushrooms. That's rational, good daddy. Yeah. The minute the reaction to that is, there fucking isn't any pepper. When that thought comes to my head, I think, you need to go away now because she's bored of you as well. So I went in the different room and I think that was the right policy.
Oh, that's nice. How's your beer?
The beer is cold and delicious, and it's the first of, well, not many, because, you know, there'll be this whole row to have again at tea time, won't there?
What are you making for tea? Are you doing a lot of cooking?
Yeah, food's my sort of go-to. You know, I wake up in the morning and I need to know what we're having. So last night at 11:45, I suddenly decided we had to have Bircher muesli for breakfast. Yeah. So I was clattering around in the kitchen, soaking oats. She didn't eat that either. What she does, she eats until she's not hungry. She doesn't eat until she's full. I don't know if you're experiencing this.
I've got two, and one eats, the younger one eats everything and all the dinner, really good. The other one doesn't, like I say, we'll have one mouthful and goes, oh, I'm not starving hungry anymore, I'm off. Yeah. And then an hour later, can I have a sandwich? Can I have some bread?
Yeah.
I know, but it sort of makes sense, doesn't it? When there's so many toys in the house, the sort of policy is, well, I'll just pick. You know, like when you're at a house party, you go, oh, I'll just pick at stuff.
Yeah.
You can't explain to her. You need to sit and continue to I know you know what it tastes like and you're not hungry anymore, but the policy is you now shovel this gruel into your face until it slightly hurts.
I don't know if the words the policy is are going to be helpful to a 3-year-old.
She genuinely has picked up, and it's one of those things you don't know you're saying it until they say it back to you. She'll say now, she'll say to me, okay, Daddy, here's the deal. And then we have a negotiation. Here's the deal. I eat this waffle and then that's it. And then we can play. And you have to say, yeah, okay, fine.
John, with these deals, you've got to be prepared to walk away. That's the thing. If you're going to show any strength.
I'm too prepared to walk away. That's the problem.
I've got a little bit of a tip for trying to get to eat lunch, because like I said, mine don't really do it. Do a picnic buggy. But what you do is make them a packed lunch, put them in the buggy with it, and then you walk for an hour whilst they eat their lunch.
That is a good little tip, Rob.
It's a lovely tip, but then you get to an age where she needs to learn to sit and eat a meal, you know, because this lockdown situation, she's not going to nursery anymore. And nursery was where she was learning, you know, you can be a bit of a prick at home while we're eating tea, but you can't, if you're a mess around at nursery, you'll get told off and you just won't get lunch.
Well, that was my saving grace whenever I did some bad, like weak parenting, was I'd always think, she's picking it up at nursery, so it doesn't matter if I drop the ball a bit. She's eating great food at nursery, so this cheese on toast is fine. And now I haven't got that.
Yeah, but you worry too much, because like when they go, oh, you've got to teach them to use a knife and fork. No, well, I've never met anyone at 37. You go to a restaurant, they're just like shoveling soup up with their hands because they never learn. Like they will learn at some point. Do you know what I mean? Like the same with sitting down. It's like, you don't see like grown-ups at weddings wandering about just eating a baguette because, oh, no, this is what I did as a kid.
You meet someone, he's like, I do want this meal, but you're right to push me around in a buggy while I eat it.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches, but there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
And because it's only fair, and for the purposes of balance, of course, here's John's wife, Lucy, with her version of the Currygate scandal.
He made her a corn curry with brown rice.
I mean, I'm tapping out of that as an adult. He never said that, did he, Josh?
No, he said it was a lovely curry.
It was a lovely curry for John. For someone who's trying to not like food.
You can't expect a kid to eat that.
No, so she pretended that she wanted a poo and I made her chicken dippers.
Does she play you off against each other then? Does she understand the different characters?
God, she's so clever. She's been doing it. Yeah, she's had me particularly wrapped around her. She listens to John. He's the disciplinarian. And me, I'm wrapped around a finger. I don't even realise I'm doing stuff. And then before I know it, like, a whole Easter egg's gone and she's still in her pyjamas and it's 4:00.
Are you you're the good cop then, and John's the bad cop?
Do you know what I think it is? She sees me as like her older sister.
Yeah.
Like a sibling. Oh, it's hard.
My wife's a bit like that with the two girls. And sometimes in the morning, if it's her turn to get up with them and she goes in and they're arguing and fighting and she starts shouting, I can't work out which one's my wife. It just sounds like they're all the same. Like I've got three daughters. I can't work out the voices.
Oh, God. I do that with her socks. I can't work out who socks are who. It's tricky. It's just no one can prepare you, can they? Like how it changes, like your relationship and your home. And
yeah. Is your home in a good state? Like John must be keeping it pretty sharp.
It's all bollocks, this thing about him being tidy.
Is it?
He's absolutely not tidy. No, no. He'll line up like tins in the fridge, but everything else will just be. And he's not clean. He doesn't hoover or dust or anything like that. It's all, I can't believe it. People think, oh, you must have a real tidy house. No, I do it all.
Do you?
I do it. I do everything.
Because he was quite angry about the strainer in the sink.
Apart from that, yeah.
That's his thing, is it?
Yeah, we do argue a lot about stuff like that. But I think it's really good to argue, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you need it. When you hear a couple that doesn't argue, I find that very creepy.
Do you know what's happening if there's a couple who isn't arguing? One of them's having an affair.
In lockdown, that'd be ambitious, though, wouldn't it? You only get an hour in the park. That's what doggers have been waiting for years.
The next highlight from the archives, the brilliant Ellie Taylor runs us through some questionable breastfeeding training advice.
How did you get on with that? Because Lou found that quite difficult with the breastfeeding and stuff. Did you enjoy it, or was it hard, or what was your experience of that?
It was pretty easy at the beginning, and it came quite naturally, and I was really chuffed. But then I got mastitis a couple of times, which was like hell.
Rose, so that was brutal. God,
it's, I don't understand what the fuck nature is doing. So the first time I had it, she was she's 7 weeks old. I'm recovering from a cesarean still. Like, you're obviously at the lowest ebb you can possibly imagine. Mm. And then nature decides to infect one of your tits. And
sorry to laugh.
No, but it was, I mean, it was, it, and there were always dark moments of humour in these situations. Yeah. And I remember, like, I've never been in so much pain, and I was like hallucinating with this fever. And we got a breastfeeding coach to come around to try and sort of work out why I'd got mastitis and try and help the latch. And she was this strange Russian lady. And to try and sort of help me work out the latch, she pulled out of her bag. Why? I'm crying on the sofa in the most pain I've ever been in my life. She pulls out an Elmo hand puppet and starts to sort of demonstrate the perfect latch with the Elmo puppet on my infected tit.
Oh, God.
Oh, my word.
At the time,
Oh, the days of pre-corona. Had it been disinfected?
It wasn't.
How many
face
breasts has this Elmo been on? A Wayne Lineker of hand puppets, eh? How did you feel in that moment, Ellie, that you're just sat there?
Because I was very vulnerable at that moment. So I was like, a lady, you what to do. Elmo will help me. And it was only reflecting back on it that I was like, what the fuck?
That Elmo's got some stories to tell, hasn't it? Bloody hell.
Can I throw some other options at you of what you would be accepting? Because you accepted Elmo, obviously, like a sort of a cartoon figure. If she just whipped out a ventriloquist doll, how would you feel? Because there must be a level of the cuddly toy you'll accept to do that. You know, go, hold up. No. This is one step too far.
If it had kind eyes, I'd let anything have a go at that point, I think.
Fair enough. You're very vulnerable.
And did it work?
I got better, and I don't know. And then I got mastitis again, and it was just it's all a pile of shit. I don't understand.
She brought Oscar the Grouch around that time. Really.
Big Bird had a go on the other one.
Thank God Cookie Monster stayed at home.
Yeah. So it was like, I did like miss it though. When I stopped breastfeeding, I did miss it. But then I remember getting quite emotional, like, it's the end of our journey together. I'm just going to feed her one last time. And then she started biting me, and I was like, oh, do you know what? I think we're done. And it was less sad to let it go. But I do still kind of miss it in a way. Although when I hear about some of my friends who are still doing it and their kids are 18 months old and like they're not sleeping through the night and stuff, I'm like, yeah. I'm fine with bottles now. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, that is tough. There's so much pressure, especially if they're starting to bite, just tap out. That's when Lou did, especially with my offspring. You can't have them nibbling away with those jeans.
Now it's time for comedy legend Jack D and his tale of the terror of twins.
And they're twins, aren't they? So your two sons are twins.
They're twins. So they're both 22, and they're non-identical. So they're very, very different. And so it's like it is, you know, it's not like you've got two kind of identical freaks going around the place. couldn't have any telepathy and all that going on at the table. That would not work for me. If they had been identical, I think I would have just done eeny, meeny, miny, moe and sold one of them. I just wouldn't want that going on, would you? It'd be horrible, no. Wouldn't it? You know, they speak their own little language and everything. Oh, horrible.
What was the moment like when you realised that you were going to have three, but now you're going to have four children?
Well, the news was broken to me actually by Hattie, who's our eldest daughter. She was six, and I was working at ITV, and I got paged to go to the front desk. And when I turned up, Jane, my wife, was there with Hattie and Phoebe, our two daughters. And my memory is Hattie running towards me with this photo, the scan photo, saying, there are two of them. Oh. Really excited because we hadn't found out until it was about a 20-week scan or something. Oh. And the guy doing the sort of thing said, have we told you if they're identical or not? And Jane said, what? And that's how we found out. You know, we're being identical. What are you talking about?
Wow.
We were lucky there because we'd already had two children, so we kind of knew a bit about how to look after babies and kids and stuff like that. I've got friends, and you probably know people as well, who have twins first time round, and I just don't know how they cope with that. Oh. Because that is a bad enough shot with one of them, isn't it? You know, one baby will ruin your life. What did two do at the same time? Two of them coming in, just awful. Yeah.
So what's it like having twins? So are you putting them down to bed at the same time? And are you trying to bath? Is it all like, are you just trying to double team them in that sense?
No, they were never in sync. They would look with each other. They could never kind of like both be hungry at the same time, both be tired at the same time. They did shift work. They were shift, that's what it was. So it was 24 hour full on. You'd have one would fall asleep, the other one wake up. And so you have to get them out of the room in case they wake the other one up. It really was chaos. In fact, a couple of times we just hired a nanny, me and Jane, and just went away to a hotel for the weekend to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, literally just a hotel down the road. Just, you said, we're just going to sleep. It wasn't even a nice hotel. Just go down there. This is an Ibis down the road. We just went there to sleep for 25 hours.
Was there a point, though, where you thought they might be identical? Because I swear all babies look the same. Was you just looking at them going, are you sure they're not? And then eventually they look
No, one of them is quite a lot chunkier than the other one. Charlie comes out first, and he's the big bruiser. He was taking up all the space. And then Miles comes out, and he's a little bit more sort of petite and small. But you know, I mean, it's great. And then the doctor goes, right, let's see what number three is. And Jane nearly... Jane practically fell off the table. And he goes, oh, just joking. I said, yeah, all right, just leave that to me, Mia.
That is a great line, though, for someone delivering to
you. I know, but I said, look, I know the safe limits of humour in my household. and you've gone way past it.
Do they get on well, then?
They do get on well, because, I mean, partly they get on well because they're complete opposites to each other. And that's, I think, is one of the sort of redeeming features if you have twins who decide not to be like each other or just aren't anyway. And they, right from day one, would not do the same thing as each other. So if they were doing the same homework, one would do colouring in and the other one would decide not to colour in and just, you know, scribble over it or something. And it would just be, it was always, I will not do what he does and vice versa. So they were never competing, never trod on each other's territory. So in that respect, it's quite good. And I always think if you put them together, you'd have the perfect human, but they just have very, 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 very opposite views.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
With Capella University's FlexPath format, you can set your own deadlines, learn at your pace, and access most coursework from anywhere at any time. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Next up, it's Daisy May Cooper and her daughter's patriotic potty training.
So Daisy, what's your setup at home? What's your kid's setup?
So it's me and my husband and our 2-year-old daughter, who's just become a complete nightmare.
Oh really?
Oh my god.
During lockdown,
it's just got naughtier and naughtier and naughtier and naughtier.
What kind of things?
It's so weird. So she's decided to use the shed as like an outdoor privy. And she's been that's why I was looking at what was so mental is I'm losing my mind so much that I was looking up to see, you know, if kids have been reincarnated from World War II. And that's why she's.
Any evidence to suggest she has?
Well, no. The only evidence I have is she's ripping her nappy off. She's done about 3 poos in the shed, and the latest one she was really proud of because for V-Day we had these kind of little cocktail sticks with little flags on them, and that we had in cupcakes, and she'd managed to find one of them in the garden and put it in her poo in the shed. And then called me over to come and witness it. And I just stared at it for about 30 seconds, just in complete bafflement.
Are you doing potty training then?
We tried. She was brilliant before lockdown. She really enjoyed it. But now she just doesn't give a fuck. She doesn't give a fuck about anyone or anything. It's just horrendous.
What did you do with the kind of flag poo? Did you say that it was good, or did you? What did it have a British flag in it?
It had a
like
British
kind of Union Jack,
flag.
Like we'd claimed it.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. I stood in silence for about 30 seconds because it was like
in respectful silence to our flag.
It's like something the far left would put on a poster about Brexit, isn't it? So are you still working at the moment? Is your husband working from home? What's that?
My husband's a landscape gardener, so he sort of can go out now and do sort of jobs and stuff. So I've been left in at home with the devil child. I do love her very much, but it's just becoming, because she just doesn't understand why she can't go to the park or why she can't go see Nanny. She's so sick of FaceTiming relatives. Now it's just, and I'm just putting Bing on, and it's just on a constant, like a 24-hour repeat of Bing episodes.
My daughter, who's 2.5, she's got no interest in FaceTime, so it just gets offensive to the relatives very quickly. It's so awkward.
They go, "Do you want to speak to Nanny?" No, no. I want Paw Patrol. But Nanny's here. No, Paw Patrol. Your nan? No. Which one? And then they go, "Which one?" I'd go, "Oh, Nanny Sue." "Nah." What? As if that matters. Don't do that. Don't ask which one and then say no. That's even worse.
It's so true.
And are you pregnant with your second as well, Daisy?
I'm pregnant with my second as well. So, I mean, I haven't even thought about the second one.
So how pregnant are you at the moment?
I'm just over halfway.
Oh, right.
So, I just want to drink. I want to drink. So much. I can't. I was Googling how many. I mean, could I have 3 drinks if being pregnant? I thought, oh, no, I can't. I really can't.
Your Google history is unbelievable at the moment, isn't it? Can a child be reincarnated from World War II? And can I drink when I'm pregnant?
The penultimate track on this volume is the absolute banger that is Milk Tray Moment by Shappy Cassandy.
Like, we had this incident that we still talk about, the kids and I. The first few days of lockdown was the milk tray incident.
Oh, wow.
So okay. What
happened in the milk tray incident then?
Well, I was trying to make life golden and happy for my children still, because that's what you do as a parent, right? You just try and make everything magical. And then the first few days of lockdown, I just... we started cooking and eating together, all stuff that I don't really do because I'm always out of work. And I got this box of milk tray. And this milk tray box meant a lot to me because I went to the co-op to buy it when, you know, where you felt like you were putting your life in danger just stepping into a supermarket.
Yeah.
And I bought it and I, you know, left it for a couple of hours. So it, I don't know, the germs ran off or whatever. So it stopped being a box of death. Yeah. And then my son went to open it, and him and my daughter were squabbling over how to open it. And my son's like, he's really clever. And he's normally really careful with things, but he just ripped the top of the box off so you couldn't close the box again. He just ripped it open. Next thing I knew, it was in the bin. Like, I put it in the bin. I just went, right, you're not having it. You don't deserve. You kids have had everything given to you on a plate. I never had milk tray when I was a kid. My parents had nothing. We didn't have swimming lessons. And all of this shit came out of, like, screaming at my kids at how privileged they are and how lucky they are to have a box of chocolates. You know, we had one chocolate once a year. I was not Willy Wonka, Charlie. I was like Charlie from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Just hellish. It was awful.
How many days in was this?
I think it was day two. And
How did they react?
I mean, they realised they were dealing with a mad woman. Like, they understood that this wasn't normal. And my son he's so polite and he's so calm. And he looked at me with, like, fire in his eyes. And he said, "You are behaving really badly." They went up to their rooms and then I had to call them down. And I sat down and I said, "Listen, sometimes, like, thunderstorms happen in my head and I can't normally, I'd go out the house or I'd go up to my room or whatever, but I behaved very badly." And of course I went out the next day and I bought another box of milk tray that we all quietly ate, none of us enjoying it. And it's just sort of, yeah, the milk tray incident was bad. And that's when I thought, right, I need to meditate. I need to, you know, really look after my head.
And finally, playing us out this episode is Alex Brooker with the pros and cons of parenting with a disability.
Today, it's been a big parenting day for me this morning. She's noticed my hand for the first time. It's the first ever time my eldest
noticed it
today. And she was kind of like, she literally was going, "Daddy, you've only got two fingers." And I really want, like, technically it's three, but two are stuck together, but it's fine if you want to call it two. But it's the first time, and like it's one of those things where, you know, like, obviously for me, when I first went to, like, started thinking about having kids, that was like a really big thing. It was like, I wonder how they're going to find it. She didn't give a shit. It was like,
yeah,
obviously the youngest was the one that weren't having it, because she let go of my hand and then ended up face in the tree. And I feel like the eldest has seen that and thought, yeah, it's not an ideal hand to hold, but it's better than nothing. But like the first, I remember we first, when Mia was like a day old, I kind of went and met one of my mates at the pub quickly at lunchtime. And I was just, he was like, "How are you finding it?" And I was like, "Mate, I just keep thinking I'm going to drop her." And he was like, "Well, everyone thinks that, don't they? What's the worst that can happen as soon as you have a new kid is you drop it." And that's like literally, everyone kind of worries about it, whether you've got, big, like, I'm sure David Seaman worried about it. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
he was worried about being lobbed. He was worried about the baby going over his head. Backpedaling.
I used to have like really weird nightmares that I was holding the baby and then rolled over it while I was asleep and slept on top of it. And then I'd wake up in the night and the baby was in the cot and I was nowhere near it. But these mad dreams, everyone feels the same.
They do. And like, I was, do you know what? It was as I said, the eldest, I feel like we're really making progress at the moment. She's got over like the hand thing very quickly. I was surprised at that. It was absolute, you know, 20 years of my life worrying about nothing. But then it was, do you know what? It was, as I said, it's like quite a big thing for me today, that. It's one of those things that, well, like, I'll probably think about it a bit more like later on. But yeah, it was like, I was genuinely up until today, like really properly worried. And also, I have thought to myself more recently, it's like, you're nearly 3.5. You should have noticed. You can count now. We've done a lot of work. You know, how many times have I sat you in front of the iPad and just put like the counting YouTube video on?
Does she notice the leg?
Oh, mate, they love the legs. Because I've got three different ones, haven't I? So today I had my blue waterproof on. And like, so it's like,
I was going to say that in a stream, there must be a rust risk. But if you've got a waterproof one.
You know what? When I did that, that swim last year, they gave me one for getting in and out the water. So it's basically wood, which isn't the most flexible thing. But it is literally, for the first time, I've got like a wooden leg. So it's not like you imagine. It's not like a pirate. It does have like a foot on it.
Yeah. But they got you a parrot as well, which is a bit insensitive, but you were on the sea.
But I, she's obsessed because it's like really colourful and blue and that. And she just like calls it daddy's blue leg. I've taught them how to put my leg on sometimes. When I'm like slobbed out on the couch and I've got my leg off, I've like started to teach them. It took me a little while with my eldest, but I've taught her to like what like different bits go together. To her, I think it's like a big bit of Duplo.
So, you are really like a big bit of Duplo. That's how I view you.
Yeah, best for under fours. Alex, as your disability stopped you doing anything as a parent, like that you would have wanted to do?
The one thing which I'm still always like, in the grand scheme of things, this isn't like a big thing, but the one thing I'm always slightly wary of is, you know, when you have like parents and they have like their kids on their shoulders or something like that.
Yeah.
We're not delving into that. We've given it a little go on the sofa. And it, you just go, this is the juice isn't worth the squeeze for either of
them. I'll be honest, Alex. I've got all the necessary limbs to do that, and it's still an absolute nightmare. And they launch themselves off, and I've nearly lost both my kids to terrible shoulder accidents in the bus. So it's probably best left.
We gave it a little go, and I just said to her, just make sure like you hold on to daddy's neck. And I don't think she quite realises how important that bit of it is, because I'm not really holding on to her. So that she's carrying everything for us. And straight away, we did it on the sofa. She just fell backwards on the sofa. I was like, do you know what? Well, why don't we just walk? Let's give it something else. But like, do you know what? That's pretty much, if I'm being honest, the only thing that I've not really done.
Also, on the flip side, Alex, has your disability enabled you to get out doing other things that is a bit of a relief? Do you ever play it up so you go, actually, I don't think I can do this because, you know, the old hand and leg situation is probably best you do it. Have you ever got out of anything with that?
Honestly, if you ask my wife, it is literally every single week I'll use it. Like, my leg takes, I reckon, about 3 seconds to put on. And the amount of times when like something will be happening, I'll be like, yeah, but I ain't got my leg on, have I? As if it's like suddenly just disappeared. Like, and it's just, that's like the ultimate excuse. And she'll be like, well, yeah, but you can go and put it on, can't you? And it's like, well, yeah, but you're up, and yeah, so you've got both your legs on. So.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you again soon. For now, that's what I call Parenting Hell, Volume 2.
Hello, Tom Allen here.
And Susie Ruffle.
We have a podcast called Like-Minded Friends. It's very much a celebration of, I don't know, what would you say, Suze, being queer?
Being queer, but also chit-chat. There's loads of straight people that love it, so I think that you should come along and listen to it.
There's something for everybody. It's been described as white noise for gays, but also we had a lovely section about Glade plugins.
So why don't you listen to it? Search Like-Minded Friends wherever you get your podcasts. That sounded quite professional, didn't it?
Mm.
Hello, I'm Tom Crane.
And I'm Simran Shah, and we're the hosts of the new food and comedy podcast, My Favourite Takeaway, where each week we're invited into the home of a celebrity guest to share their favourite takeaway, exactly as they'd normally have it.
We'll be trying it all, from Peruvian street food slouched on James Acaster's L-shaped sofa,
to an Antiguan feast huddled around Andy Oliver's dinner table,
via an alfresco Indian takeaway sat in Tom Allen's garden. And we also want to hear from you, the listener.
Your takeaway disasters.
Your weird habits.
And your personal takeaway recommendations. You can follow us on Insta, My Favourite Takeaway Podcast.
On Twitter, at Fave Takeaway Pod.
Or you can email us, hello@myfavouritetakeawaypodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe, like and share.
My Favourite Takeaway, the podcast for anyone who loves food but can't always be bothered to cook it.
Available on all podcast platforms now.
Hello, I'm John Richardson, and I'm here to tell you about the Comedians Playing Fantasy Premier League podcast.
I'm Matt Ford, and I'm here to tell you that although our podcast is about Fantasy Premier League, it's not just for saddos, losers and virgins.
Yeah, it's for cool people like us and you. You're listening to this, so you must be cool.
Each week, we follow the highs and lows of the fantasy football teams of some of the country's funniest people. The great thing is, you don't really need to be into Fantasy Premier League or even football to enjoy it.
That's because each week, Matt and I compete with each other, the lowest scorer in FPL having to do a humiliating forfeit each week. Spoiler alert, every week so far, it's been Matthew.
I'll be honest, it's not the start I'd hoped for. Already, I've had to do a humiliating chili challenge and tried to have a pint with a duck, but it swam off.
Even ducks don't want to be near Matt Ford. Over the course of the season, we'll be joined by comedians such as Russell Howard, Romesh Ranganathan, Maisie Adam, Josh Widdicombe, Jason Manford, Emily Dean, Rob Beckett and Ian Sterling.
So don't delay. Pick up your phone and subscribe to the Comedians Playing Fantasy Premier League podcast now. New episodes are released every Wednesday until the end of the season.
Hello, I'm Sean Walsh.
And I'm Paul McCaffrey.
And we're here to tell you that our podcast, What's Upset You Now, is back for a brand new series.
Now, I know what you're thinking. Do I have time in my life for another comedian-hosted podcast with my busy schedule?
Well, in most cases, no. But here's why What's Upset You Now is different.
Each week, we ask ourselves and a guest, what's upset you now? And we spend exactly 15 minutes discussing and ranting about the frustrations and idiocies of everyday life.
Anything from a bus driver wanting the exact change,
to those people doing yoga in the park.
And quite often, just simply each other.
Yeah, it's basically anything and everyone.
It's the podcast equivalent of being in the pub with your two funny mates, putting the world to rights.
Yeah, at 2 a.m, so do expect shouting.
Listen to What's Upset You Now, available on all podcast platforms.